Got good bait. Here a little tip that I would like to relate. I said, man, the fish pipe. If you got good bait, I'm gonna fish it.
Well, you know what that means. If you're a listener to this radio station, it's time for a fishing report. Leif Seeberg is in here. How you doing, Leif?
Not too shabby. How you doing, Deputy Dizzle Dazzle?
I'm doing good. I was thinking that before we get on the air and do this, we frequently visit a lot.
We rap.
Yeah, and I hear all kinds of fishing stories.
Yeah,
and I don't know. I think this is almost like maybe going to be like a confessional, Leif. I mean,
oh yeah, yeah,
yeah. What has happened, my brother?
Well, we oftentimes refer to it as Heartbreak Hotel.
Yeah.
I've checked in for a long stay at the Heartbreak Hotel lately.
I couldn't believe the stories I was hearing from
you.
I mean, you know, usually you have everything so dialed in.
It's usually just all
success
stories. And right.
But this, you've had a tough week.
Yeah, you know, I was up on the Twisp one day with my buddy Jeff is kind of where it started, and got into what would have been, if I would have landed it, absolutely the biggest fish for me on the Twisp. It was about a 20 plus inch cutthroat. Looked like a female, probably on her way back down from spawning somewhere up in that system, obviously packing on the pounds again. I threw a stimulator up at her, this cool new stimulator that Lance has at the Outdoorsman that I'm not usually sold by, like, oh, you know, this company says this is the hot new item. But after looking at it like three times, I bought it. It's called the Chew Toy. It's one of the stimulators, but it's got like a little bit of flash up on its nose. So it's kind of nice where stimulators are kind of sometimes a little subdued and you feel like maybe they didn't see it. They usually see this one I found. And anyway, I chucked the thing up there and it's a big hole. And I was throwing across stream, working the other side. And it was, you know, a long cast to get it set up to where it would float over this, where a shelf drops off. And I saw this fish come up and it looked, you know, to be about 6 inches the way it displaced zero water, you know, like you just took a couple fingers and moved the top of the water. And I almost didn't set the hook, which is kind of good because you want to pause for a second on the dry flies. And then just in the back of my head and audibly, I almost said, what the heck? And I pulled up and checked and all of a sudden just felt weight bear down on that sucker and started to bring that thing down and across the stream. And she wasn't having anything of it. So she peeled through the back eddy and then went back upstream. I brought her back downstream, back through the back eddy, back upstream, you know, and it just kind of repeated like, I don't know how many times. My buddy Jeff was running like a madman with for the net like I usually do for him. And she started to kind of tire out a little bit and then just started to kind of move out of the hole and drop down and or wanted to leave the hole on me. And she just started, I couldn't get her any closer because I'm using a four weight and just tried to bring her over and it tilted her body over towards me, turned the body over to where the hook had a different angle and boom, came flying back at me. And I just tossed my gear kind of up in the air. And
I'm smiling today, but I got to say, if I was there,
that one hurt the most.
I'll bet.
Yeah. You know, just because of the Twisp, it would have been a real accomplishment for me to get
that
fish.
And this isn't the only swing and miss.
No, it was 3 days in a row. So that was day one. Day two was there at the China Wall, they call it sometimes, the flood control dike north of Twisp. Just like the last time I tried to, I did cut myself up quite well in that story we had a year ago or so. And I was trying to get down that wall in my flip-flops like a moron and just lacerated myself. Managed to land the fish that time. This time I played a little safer. I was wearing my crappy muck shoes, you know, about as good as Crocs for moving around on sharp rocks. I tried to coax it down the wall, but the flow is still pretty good. And in this case, it was about a 22 inch cutbow, maybe a little less, not quite as tall as the cutthroat female, but a little bit longer. And I could tell it was a very bright male cutbow. And I'm trying to move him down the wall, kind of got down to the last bit where there would be a good back eddy, and couldn't get him around the last big boulder without, I think, either rubbing him off on the boulder or there again changing the tilt and angle of the hook, and it just came shooting back at me. And then the next day after that, lost another giant monster at the park where it should have been. You know, I had a great fight from it, looked to be about a, you know, 18, 19 inch buck that was just super fat, cutthroat, and, you know, worked me all around that park hole. And then right when I was getting ready to net it, just the bug came flying up out of the water. I just couldn't believe it. You know,
this is God talking to you.
What are you going to do? You can't win them all. I think it's just, you know, yeah, he's probably saying, yep, you fish too much. I can't let you catch many.
No.
Got to save some for the other guys.
Well, I'm guessing that this is going to motivate you in some way.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I used to just freak out a lot more. And now I'm just kind of, you know, I'm just happy to see the good fish there. And looking forward to, you know, spending the summer trying to get some of these guys into the net, or at least, you know, I really love having a chance to go back through with my friends and say, well, I saw a fish here, and here. Let's give them a try, you know. And even if they land them, it's just great to see them. I want to see what that fish looks like and who that was.
Yeah. Well, and I guess that's kind of the backstory of this. The fishing's good.
Oh, it's so good. And I'm just so happy that it's like this right now. I mean, I'm kind of like, I have this personal feeling that maybe that weird hot weather that we had that upped the flow so much there in, what was that, the April-May time there. It was almost 9,700 degrees.
Yeah.
Well, it made it really difficult for us to trap our kelp out of the tributaries because we couldn't even get our tributary traps in there. They were just pumping, you know. I almost feel like maybe that put the cutthroat off a little bit in getting up to their reds. And this is just kind of a theory of my own. I think maybe some of them are a little bit late in coming back because I've seen some stretches right now that seem to have, you know, 2/3 of their adult fish kind of back in their usual pockets. And then I've seen other stretches where it's just kind of unusually quiet. So it's kind of, it's good fishing where they seem to have gotten back to their summer haunts. And then there's other places where it just feels like they're not quite back yet. So I've been working, you know, mostly just dries. You know, it seems like when you work nymphs too much in the river, you just catch a lot of white fish anyway. And maybe stand the chance of catching a bull trout almost more than a cutthroat. So I've just been pretty much working, you know, the stimulators, start in the morning with smaller ones and then finishing up the day with the larger ones. And, you know, you can use the larger ones too on the Twisp and Chewuk. It's not that you have to use tiny bugs, but if you do go down to some smaller stuff, and like I was saying, if they do get picky on the downlaying wings, then you just need that upright wing because there's a lot of calabatus mayflies coming off right now, and they have an upright, you know, kind of sail ship looking wing. So you know, you might have a couple of those with you, but holy cow, I, you know, it's not taking anything but the dries lately to produce the best fish that I've seen. So yeah, it's a great time.
Well, you know, I'm thinking of the listeners listening to you now, and I know some of this stuff probably sounds almost like English, but it's maybe a foreign language to you. But the reason we love to do this is because our rivers are really unique. And Leif and I were talking about this earlier, that this neck of the woods, I mean, the Northwest, our rivers move.
They sure do.
And it's that is different than a lot of the rest of the United States, where the rivers are much flatter. They don't drop that much.
That's right.
And so the thing is, Leif is kind of an expert on these waters that are unique, and the fish are not thick. I mean, you probably have the idea of, you know, how many fish per mile and so on. And how does that compare to like a slow water section of the country?
Yeah, well, you know,
you got to work it.
Oh, you sure do. Yeah, I mean, you got to just work it differently. We have maybe 200-300 fish per mile instead of like 2,000 to 3,000 to 7,000 fish per mile, like you'd get in some of these other streams. And basically the thing is, it's low nutrient, high gradient. That just means, you know, because our water's moving so fast, our streams stay so clean, you just don't have a lot of the time the substrate for a great deal of bugs. Sometimes you will in these bigger holes, like for instance, you know, the area by Cannon Beach, there's a large run up there, and the one up by the high school that we call merry-go-round, where people put in and out with their inner tubes, those things are bug factories, you know, and they almost have, well, they do have a lot of, like, the bugs you'd see in a still water situation coming out of them sometimes, too. But those are kind of the exception to the rule, and for the most part, this system is, it's just very clean and very fast, and so these fish, a lot of the time, are looking up, you know, for fish flying, I mean, for bugs flying from above, terrestrials and whatnot. And maybe don't have the time to eat everything that goes flying by their face. So they're just kind of, they're finding a food item that they know pays off, and they're kind of specializing in that. And a lot of the time the cutthroat are, you know, very apt to be looking up. They like to feed looking up. And, you know, it's a lot of it has to do with these fish evolving with each other. I mean, if they look down, they're just going to be competing with the whitefish that cover the bottom, cleaning off the bottom there. Mm-hmm. And if they move down, they also might run into their big angry predator friend, the bull trout. So they kind of have just found that niche that keeps them safe, you know, feeding up on the sides and feeding on stuff that falls in from the bank. And that's also because, you know, some of those items can be giant protein packs like our grasshoppers and whatnot too. So it's just paid off through the years of evolution to stay in those spots and eat that kind of food. Yeah. And you definitely, you know, to get back to the point, you definitely have to approach this river differently. It's not going to have fish that are sitting in a giant pod just feeding on all these bugs that are always coming by. You're going to have fish sitting in the situation that will give them the food in, you know, just through the current. And, you know, they'll be sitting in that ideal spot for food delivery. They'll be waiting for it. And a lot of time they'll control the, you know, like the big guy will have the first whack at anything, or at least he'll get to look at it. And maybe if he hesitates, then the next fish down the line will have the choice of whether to go for it or not. And so, you know, point being, you can really save your time and be more productive in catching bigger fish if you just, you know, hit the right water.
Yeah. Well, you know, maybe we out west have gotten used to this, but it seems to me like this challenge is part of the reward.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, this is the fun of it.
I think so, because you can't just, you know, you can't just walk out there and just start fishing. There's a lot of things here that look good. And if we had rainbow trout and brown trout in this river, you'd probably see them in some of these flat spots that are, you know, just kind of not appealing for any other reason, but they would be to some different trout. But it's a river that definitely is still very suited for its native fish. And I'm glad for that. I would much rather spend time fishing for the native fish in whatever area that I'm at. And I'm just happy that our area here is healthy.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's all a perfect setup for anybody who might want a guide through this system.
Yeah. Well, you know, I definitely have some openings still. Definitely love to get you out on the water. I'm always happy to book some trips or even just give some fishing tips if you want to get a hold of me at madhowfishingadventures@gmail.com. You can shoot me an email. If you'd like to check out the podcast, you'll find us at flyfishersproshop.com online there. And if you just want to talk in person, we can shoot it about some trips or fishing tips. Give me a call at 509-429-7298. It's summertime. Don't forget the sunblock. Get that fish right on.
Man, the fish pipe, if you got good bait, I'm going fishing. My mama going fishing. Baby going fishing.